ما بعد إن شاء الله I'll be starting in a minute or two إن شاء الله. Okay, we will be giving some time for those who are coming in إن شاء الله. Okay, and I hope everyone is having a good day, good morning, a blessed morning إن شاء الله. While we are waiting for others to come in, let us put good intentions into for today's class, because what we intend will be given to us inshallah. Innama al-a'malu binniyat, right? So any deed of us, any good deed or any bad deed, even it's based on our intention. All right, so put good intentions, put intentions that inshallah the things that will be shared in this class will make us a better person, will make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will give us beneficial knowledge, not just for ourselves, but the people around us. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant His mercy, His pleasure to us with this knowledge. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. All right, is everyone ready? Anyone who wants to actually turn on your camera, please don't be shy, all right? You can do so that, you know, I can see you also. But if you are not comfortable, that's okay. There's no, like, obligation to turn on your camera. Today's topic is a very big topic. A topic that is very close to my heart. I may get emotional just saying, sharing this, the story of our mother, Sayyidatina Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha. But I hope I can at least, if not all, I can give 3 or 4 takeaways today, inshallah, regarding the noble woman Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha. All right, let us start, inshallah. We start again with salat wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa walah. Okay, bismillah, let me share my screen. Alright, semua boleh nampak eh? Okay, whoever doesn't understand Malay, please let me know eh. Takut, I sometimes unintentionally speak in Malay, so just let me know so that I can like translate for you. Okay, bismillah, Women of Paradise, this is our class, our course, Women of Paradise. There are lots of women of paradise and inshallah in paradise. But for this course, we'll be touching on a few. And I hope by touching or mentioning these few women of paradise, we will have that spark to learn more on more women of paradise, inshallah. So I'm Ustazah Zahra Turafika. You can call me Ustazah Zahra. All right. So today we will be touching on, I'll be sharing with you about Khadijah binti Khuwailid radiallahu ta'ala anha. Okay, so I believe that everyone here has heard about Khadijah, at least a thing or two, at least knowing that she was the first wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of that and her influence towards the spreading of Islam, she impacted Rasulullah SAW hugely, greatly, immensely, and indirectly or directly, she also impacted the whole Ummah of Islam. Until now. Okay, so we owe a great lot. We owe a lot to Khadijah binti Khuwailid for the beauty and the ni'mah of Islam. Okay. So inshallah today we'll be discussing more on Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha before meeting the Prophet, peace be upon him. And then Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha after her marriage to the Prophet, peace be upon him. And we can have some recap and at the same time Q&A. So if you have any question throughout the course or this class, just put it in the chat box. If it coincide with the timing of me actually mentioning the said topic, or it relates with the answer, I'll just answer it immediately. But if not, then I'll answer it at the end of our class, inshallah. So please do not be shy. Do not hesitate to ask questions. If you feel that, oh, Saza, I think I would like you to repeat this story. Okay, mungkin tak terdengar, or you just miss out on certain info or details, let me know. Okay, I'm happy to actually recap or repeat. And if you have any questions regarding anything at all on the topic here, please do not hesitate to ask, inshallah. Okay, then we start our morning with the recitation of hadith. Okay, together, let's read it with me. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated, one day the Prophet, peace be upon him, drew four lines on the earth and asked his companions if they understood that what this line stood for. So one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually drew four lines on the earth. Four lines. Okay. Four straight lines. Okay, because of my lack of artsy skill here, my lines are not that straight. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made four straight lines. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his companions that were there with him, "O companions, do you understand what this line stood for?" They respectfully replied that Allah and His Messenger knew better. So, the adab or the etiquette of our of Rasulullah's companions, the Sahabats, is that even though they might have a slight idea of what the lines are for, or of what the questions were about, but because they respect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they do not want to over exceed their limits with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they humbly say Allah and His Messenger knew better, which is true. Allah and His Messenger knew better. But with this with their etiquette here, we learn that sometimes being humble, okay, representing ourselves with humility is prioritized in knowledge, okay, because especially in this, in this time, in this era, we are full or we are drowned with information, right, with knowledge, and people tend to share knowledge, which is a good thing, but at the same time, sometimes in the midst of sharing, we tend to forget the etiquettes of having knowledge, of treating our teachers, of treating those who were bigger than us, who were older than us in terms of knowledge and experience. So one of the ways to actually show some manners or etiquette or being respectful is to actually be humble. Okay? So the Sahabas actually say Allah and His Messenger knew better, meaning that Rasulullah, tell us, we want to hear from you. And then Rasulullah ﷺ told them that these lines, the ones that Rasulullah ﷺ drew, for the four foremost ladies of the universe, which is like these lines were a representation, okay, of four greatest women in this dunya, in this universe. It's not just, limited to the earth, but the whole alam, the whole universe. And Rasulullah SAW actually explicitly mentioned their names. They were Khadijah binti Khuwailid, Fatimah binti Muhammad, Maryam binti Imran, the mother of Prophet Isa AS, and Asiyah binti Mazahim, the wife of the Pharaoh. Okay. Okay, this is a hadith sahih. So, these four women, Khadijah binti Khuwailid, Fatima binti Muhammad, Maryam binti Imran, Asiya binti Mazahim, radiallahu ta'ala anhunna, they were guaranteed paradise. They would be the women leaders of paradise. Okay, they will lead the other mu'minat, the other muslimat. So, let us just, you know, allow this information to sink in to our mind, to our heart. You know, the great capacity or the great impact that they have. First, Rasulullah SAW said, you know, they were women of paradise, meaning their place in paradise is guaranteed. Who doesn't want that, right? That is like a great status within the great status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah SAW mentioned their names. How special would that be, you know? Rasulullah SAW doesn't just, you know, direct us to their character, but Rasulullah SAW mentioned their names, meaning that Rasulullah SAW wanted us to know them by name, wanted us to learn about them. All right. So, for example, yeah. I ask every one of you here to go to Pasir Ris. Okay, but you do not know how to go to Pasir Ris. For example, okay, I am sure everyone here knows how to go to Pasir Ris. But for example, okay, you do not know how to go to Pasir Ris. Okay, and then I come to you and I say, there are people who are already in Pasir Ris. Okay, it's person A, person B, person C. Okay, so what's your next move? I asked you to go to Pasir Ris, but you do not know how to go to Pasir Ris. But I told you that there are people who are already in Pasir Ris, who knows how to go to Pasir Ris, right? So the only logical thing for us to do if we want to go to Pasir Ris is to actually ask these people, is to actually look at these people. What do they do to actually go to Pasir Ris? Do they take the bus? Do they take the MRT? Do they actually walk? Or, you know, they have other arrangement for them. So I'm sure my analogy is, you know, doesn't wholly or 100% fit the message here. But I want to highlight this one important point, which is that all of us want to go to paradise, right? All of us want to go to paradise. That will be our true success, going to paradise. And Rasulullah SAW actually mentioned that Khadijah, Fatima, Maryam, and Asiya, they were guaranteed paradise. It's a sure place for them. So for us, especially women, right, it's obligatory for us to look at their lives and follow in their footsteps. For us to also follow in their footsteps to paradise. Okay, some of their characters, some of their etiquette, some of, you know, their prominent features, okay, especially in terms of akhlaq. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, you know, will greatly help us to become closer servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and when we look at their profile, their biography, okay, and it's something that I also, you know, recently internalized, is that when we talk about women of paradise, women of iman, women of faith, what do you see? What are the similarities when someone talk about them or when we read books on them? the things that were highlighted are their akhlaq and their ibadah and their relationship with Allah and the people around them, and not really their physical feature. So this is a message for me personally, and also for other sisters here. I know as much as physical appearance is, you know, an important subject to us, or is something that we really prioritize in our daily life. Whenever we walk past a mirror and we just, you know, betulkan tudung and so much more. And it's actually in us, it's a natural thing for us women to actually, you know, wanting to look beautiful and to look presentable. But remember here that the women of paradise, they were not remembered because of their beauty. They were beautiful inside out. But when people talk about them, people do not say, you know, oh, mashallah, her eyes, her clothes, her hijab. No, people say her relationship with Rasulullah was very close. Her relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was impactful, was great, okay, was incomparable to others. Her strength, her spirit, her dedication towards the cause of Allah was great. And that's what we want. And that's what we have to strive for. It's the beauty inside. All right? Of course, Islam asks us to be presentable, to be beautiful. Okay? But at the same time, whatever comes inside, inshallah, will be reflected outside. Okay? Whatever comes, you know, whatever that we have inside us will be reflected outside. So, whatever we have in our heart, if it's beautiful, there will be nur that make our life beautiful, that people will actually look and, you know, even though we don't really dress that elegantly or, you know, extravagantly, but there's a sakina, or there's a calm feeling whenever you look at someone which has nur on their face. Okay, so the nur comes from the taqwa, the iman. Okay, moving on. Okay, so we'll be talking on Sayyidatina Khadija's family, her previous marriages, and her wealth. So her name, of course, we have to know her name, right? Khadija binti Khuwailid. People call her by At-Tahira, the pure. Okay, because her character, her akhlaq is, mashallah, was beautiful. Okay. Even though she was really rich, was born into a very wealthy family, but the highlight of her life would be her akhlaq. She was born in the year 555, or some say it, 556 AD. Okay, her mother's name will be Fatima binti Zaida. Her father's name, Khuwailid bin Asad. Her siblings, Awam, Nawfal, Hizam, Amrin, and Hala. And who is Waraka? Waraka, I will be sharing with you on Waraka, maybe later. Waraka is her cousin. Okay, it's her cousin. But Waraka was much older, than her. And Waraka also specialized in Injil and Torah, meaning that Waraka studied Injil and Torah. Even though he was blind, but he mastered the content of Injil and Torah. Okay. So Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, before marrying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she had two marriages before that, prior to that. Okay, first marriage with Abu Hala, Hind bin Nabash bin Zararah at-Tamimi, and she bore his children Hala bint Abu Hala and Hind bin Abu Hala. Okay, and after that, Abu Hala passed away and she remarried with Atiq bin Aith al-Makhsumi, which ended up with, you know, they actually separated ways because of incompatibility. And she also had a daughter with Atiq, which was named Hindah binti Atiq. So she was a widow and a divorcee at the age of 25. But at the same time, you know, she was a widow and a divorcee at the age of 25, and she married Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the age of 40. So 15 years of not remarrying, okay, of not actually reconciling or remarrying anyone. So, but within that 15 years, there were numerous marriage proposals from the people with status in Makkah, okay, from big, big people, including Abu Jahal, Abu Sufyan, Uqbah bin Abi Mu'ayt. All right. So in those times, Sayyidatina Khadijah was pursued by people with status, people with wealth, because her lineage and her status and her standing in the society itself was already high. So if one was to marry her, that person would also be someone who people would notice, who would be honored by the society. So everyone was pursuing her, wanting, you know, the wealth that she had, also the name that she had, and also it would be an honor to that person to marry Sayyidatina Khadija. Okay? But for 15 years, she focused on her children, she focused on her career, okay? And she might find, you know, Abu Jahal, Abu Sufyan, Uqba will be men of great status, great honor, but she didn't think that they were for her. All right. So, women, ladies, sisters out there, thank you so much, Brother Azam, for the hadith. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. Later, if you have time, we can read the Arabic hadith. Eh? I love to read hadith in Arabic because it brings blessings, inshallah. Okay. So, thank you, Radha Azam. So, Sayyidatina Khadija's marriage were, you know, they were, okay, my point is that sisters, you know, even though, you know, many men pursue you or wanting to get to know you, but you have to have your own principle. You have to have your own standing. You have to have your own voice. Okay? If you feel that, you know, they're not compatible, they're not for you, you can just say so. Okay? But if someone of a good akhlaq and a good nature and a good religious background, okay, meaning that, you know, someone is practicing, you have to consider that someone. Okay, according to Rasulullah's hadith, saying, if anyone or if a man approach a woman and this man is of a good nature, akhlaq, and also is a person of taqwa, that woman has to really consider that man, okay? Because by rejecting him is actually rejecting something good, because he has the akhlaq and the taqwa already, okay? All right, wah. This is becoming a marriage course, eh? Okay. All right, but yeah, when we talk about our mother here, Khadija binti Khuwailid, right? It's, you know, it's inseparable when we talk about her story and marriage, because her marriage was the highlight of Rasulullah's life and also her life and also the Ummah's life. Okay, now we will be talking on her wealth. inheritance, and business. So she was a businesswoman, a great and successful one, and she inherited a lot from her father. So she was born to a rich family, but at the same time, she had her own business. Okay, her own thing, her own establishment. All right. So she was extremely intelligent and smart businesswoman. She made tradings to Syria and Yemen. Okay, so during the time of the Prophet and before the time of the Prophet, the Arabs will actually make two tradings for two seasons, for summer and winter. Okay, so one season they will go to Syria and one season they will go to Yemen. Okay, looking at the time, the weather and the season. She was extremely generous, and this we can actually see during the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was the most richest woman among the Quraysh tribe. She was the most richest woman. But have we heard that from her mouth? Have we heard that she showed off her money, her wealth? No. We didn't hear that from her herself or her actions. But we got to know of this information from the people around her. Okay, so she was very humble, but at the same time, she was generous. Even though she was the richest woman among the Quraysh tribe. And the Quraysh here, when we say about tribe in the Arabic Arab Peninsula, right? Tribes were like families. You know, they bring family names. And Quraysh will be one of the leading and highest tribe in the Arab tribes hierarchy. Okay, so her status or her lineage was already high. And then she would be the richest woman from that, you know, great tribe. So you can imagine how powerful and influential she was. Okay, very, very, very powerful. And Khadija radhiyallahu anha, after her marriage to the Prophet, peace be upon him. Okay, so the Prophet, peace be upon him, worked for her as a merchant. So Sayyidatina Khadija, even though she was a businesswoman, because of her success, she was really successful that her business could actually grow without her being there. Okay, meaning that she already had, you know, branches all over the place. People working for her, managers working for her, leaders working for her to settle her business. She would just be, you know, the people for the person for the people to report to. Okay, because of how successful she was and how, you know, her business can actually work without, you know, her presence. So, for example, like right now, right, you know, a boss doesn't have to actually travel because, you know, her or his company is already in that country. So that's how powerful Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was. So she was looking for people to recruit, to represent her as her business partner, as someone to make deals with, all right? So when she wanted to recruit someone, because of her character of, you know, prioritizing akhlaq, prioritizing trustworthiness, prioritizing, you know, being transparent, being truthful. So when she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, and people talk about or people actually recommended Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people would say Muhammad was very trustworthy. Muhammad would be, you know, would bring good for your business. She took the chance to take the Prophet, peace be upon him, to become her employee or her representative for her business dealings. Okay. So she knows already that Rasulullah was trustworthy. Okay. He will actually honor his promise. He will make fair, just, and transparent transactions. So she's very happy with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then one day, okay, she will actually appoint Maisara. Maisara is a guy. Okay, in Singapore, Maisara will be a girl's name, right? So Maisara here is a guy. He was Khadija's servant. Okay, was Khadija's helper. So Khadija would appoint him to accompany the Prophet as an assistant to do business dealings. So Maisara actually accompanied the Prophet, peace be upon him. And then one day, Maisara said that when they were doing business at the area of Sham, the Prophet rested under a tree, okay, and there was a priest. And there was a priest, and the priest said that the one who rested on the tree, referring to Rasulullah SAW, he'll be a prophet because that tree only were visited by prophets. So Maisara was very impressed, was very surprised at the same time, but he was very impressed. He was like, MashaAllah. Okay, like at that time, you know, he wouldn't say MashaAllah, or I'm not sure, but he was like, wow, I'm traveling with, you know, someone great. So of course Maisara actually, you know, relate this back to Khadija, and Khadija was really, you know, taken aback, but at the same time Khadija, she was happy because she got to know of someone who would become someone powerful, someone who is close to God, someone that, you know, can bring peace in this dunya and akhirah. So knowing that Khadija and on top of all the good qualities of what Rasulullah ﷺ had, Khadija really, really interested in marrying Rasulullah ﷺ. She saw something in Rasulullah ﷺ that, you know, was not in anyone else. She saw divine message. She saw that, you know, this person would be a lover of God. Okay, Habibullah. So she wanted to be part of his journey. So mashallah, Khadija really loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of iman. Okay, because of iman, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when she got to know how special Rasulullah SAW was, she wanted to be part of that iman, of that goodness. So it's not just for her personal benefit or for her personal interest, but it's for the world, it's for her world and her akhirah. It's for a bigger picture. And she knew that she could support Rasulullah ﷺ because of her status, because of her wealth. So she wanted to do that. Okay. So Nafisa binti Manbah radhiyallahu ta'ala anha united the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Khadija radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. So Nafisa was Khadija's best friend. So Khadija will actually confide in her and say, Nafisa, I have interest in Muhammad. And Nafisa was like, okay, let me help you. Don't worry, let me help you. So Nafisa actually approached the Prophet, and Nafisa asked if, you know, Muhammad, if someone were to like you, okay, and but she's much older than you, she has interest in you, what would you say? And then Rasulullah asked, who's this person? And Nafisa said, it's Khadija. And Rasulullah said, if Khadija is willing, then I'm willing to. Meaning that the Prophet actually, you know, likes Khadija. At the same time, he knows the quality of Khadija. So the question would not be why Khadija? The question would be why not Khadija, right? because of all the qualities that she has. So the Prophet will say, if she's willing, then I'm willing. Okay? Subhanallah. And then Khadija sent representatives. Her uncle approached Rasulullah's uncle. Rasulullah SAW uncle approached her uncle. So Hamzah and Abu Talib approached Khadija's uncle Umar bin Asad with a formal proposal. Okay? And Waraka conducts the marriage between the pure one and the truthful one. So Khadija and Muhammad. So Khadija was 40 and the Prophet was 25 years old. And they had children, Qasim, Abdullah, Zainab, Ruqayya, Ummu Kalsum and Fatima. And they spent 15 years together before Islam. So Rasulullah SAW's son died in infancy, meaning that when they reached infancy, they were still babies, they died, but he had Zainab, Ruqayya, Kalsum and Fatima until adulthood. Okay, and Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha will be the only wife who bore children for him other than Maria Qibtiyya. Maria Qibtiyya had Ibrahim with Rasulullah SAW. So they had a son named Ibrahim, but they also but Ibrahim also died when he was a baby. So so left with Zainab, Ruqayya, Kalsum and Fatima radallahu ta'ala anhunna, which they themselves were women of paradise, subhanallah. Okay, so this make this also makes Khadija more special in the eyes of Rasulullah SAW, in the eyes of Allah, in, you know, in when we look at her, this is one of the things that made her special, because the lineage of Rasulullah SAW continued with the children that Rasulullah SAW and Khadija had together. Right? So they led a happy marriage, okay? And when, you know, in the early stage of the marriage, Sayyidatina Khadija dreamt that the son actually dropped down to her backyard. Okay, and then she dreamt a lot of things, and she told Waraka, okay, her cousin who mastered in the Bible and the Torah. And Waraka was delighted upon hearing this. Why? Because he said that Muhammad had all the features of the last prophet. Okay, so those who actually learn the Torah and the Bible, okay, even though it was altered, but those who learn them truthfully, okay, genuinely, they would know the characteristic of the last prophet, which is Rasulullah SAW. They would know. Even the Jews in Medina, right? It was a shock that they wouldn't want to believe in Rasulullah SAW when they knew that Rasulullah SAW was the last prophet. Because in Quran, Allah says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know him, Rasulullah SAW, like they know their own sons. Meaning that when they read the book actually stated the features of the last prophet, and it fit Rasulullah SAW. And it's obvious that it was Rasulullah SAW. So for whatever reason, for ego or for, you know, not wanting to believe, they didn't believe. But Waraqah, on the other hand, he studied the Bible and the Torah, and he mastered in the contents of the Bible and the Torah. And when he heard of the dream of Sayyidatina Khadija, he knew that that was the last prophet. And what did he say? He said, because he was very old, very, very old. He said, I wish I could live during the time his people will abandon him. I wish I could support him during that time. So he knew what would happen because when he read the stories of the previous prophets, you know, all the people of the prophet will actually kick them away, right? Wouldn't actually turn them away, turn their back against them, and so much more. So he knew what would happen to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when Khadijah actually heard this from Waraka, she was really sure that this is the journey that I wanted for myself. I wanted to support the Prophet. I wanted to be with him. I wanted to spread Islam with him. I wanted to spread the truth with him. She was delighted because she knew that she made the right choice of marrying Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay, she was really, really happy. So just imagine, before prophethood even, before Jibril alayhi salam met with Rasulullah salam to give him the first revelation of Iqra, right? Khadijah was already prepared for that time. Khadijah was already prepared mentally, physically, financially for that time. So that's why when the first revelation came to Rasulullah SAW and Rasulullah was really scared, he was taken aback. Just imagine you were, you know, alone, and then an angel came to you. You will be really scared, right? But when Rasulullah SAW came to Khadijah and told her what happened during the first revelation, she was ready to comfort Rasulullah SAW. She was ready. That's why she was the source of comfort for Rasulullah SAW. She comforted Rasulullah. She supported him. She gave him motivation. She gave him encouraging words. Because if it were to happen to another woman who was not ready, who was not prepared, you know, a husband coming with distress, with lots of pressure, all right, coming to someone who's not prepared, you know, that someone could also, you know, be affected, be in the same pressure, be in the same distress, right? Oh, what should we do? This thing happened. Okay, it's okay, it's okay. You know, it will be a very panicky situation, right? But when Rasulullah ﷺ came to Khadijah, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Khadijah didn't even ask, are you sure what you saw was an angel? You know, she wasn't doubting Rasulullah SAW. She acknowledged, she comforted, and she knew that that time, the time where Waraka actually told her about, had come. And Waraka at that point of time had passed on. Okay, so Khadijah was really gentle with Rasulullah and gave comforting words of assurance. And she became the first believer. Just imagine, you know, Rasulullah came to Khadijah. Khadijah acknowledged, she gave assurance, and she said, I believe in you. And I believe in anything and everything that you will bring to us. Okay, subhanallah. So, and at one point of time, sorry, Saza, can please repeat this part? Didn't manage to get the full info, shukran. Children, Qasim, Abdullah, Zainab, Ruqayya, Umul Qasim, and Fatima. Okay, and then there was one more, Ibrahim, from Maria Qibtiyah. But all Rasulullah SAW's son died when they were still babies, only the daughters actually lived on. Okay. I hope I clarify that. Inshallah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. All right. So there was one point of time where Rasulullah even doubted himself. He was like, am I crazy? Am I going, you know, am I okay? I started to see things. Things started happening to me. Then Khadija came to Rasulullah, hugged him, comforted him and said, Allah will not abandon you, ya Muhammad. Subhanallah. She could say, I will not abandon you. But she said, Allah will not abandon you, ya Muhammad. You were truthful. You cared for people. You helped people. You know, you helped regardless of anything. You were there for people. You did good. How could Allah abandon you? And these words stayed with Rasulullah ﷺ as motivation. So, brothers and sisters, here we could see the important role of having a good partner, having a good wife or husband, or having a good family member, being a support for someone who wants to do good, be a support for someone, be a motivator instead of, you know, people who condemn and criticize. Because at that point, Rasulullah ﷺ was really feeling very low. And he was entrusted with the risalah, the message, to bring light to this world. It's not a small message. It's a huge message to actually bring to people. Kalau like for us, right? Sometimes if we want to tell the truth to people pun, we will actually find ways to really make it not as a shock to the person who listens to it, right? Just imagine in the time where people were praying to idols, okay, were at the peak of shirk, okay, at the peak of doing many bad things, and you were entrusted to actually stop them, you were entrusted to actually call them to goodness. It was a big message, and it still is. It was a big amanah. But we could say that how Allah prepared Rasulullah for it, one of it was through his wife, was through Khadija, meaning that Khadija was one of the pillars of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam da'wah. That's how special she was. Without her, we won't be having, you know, without her contribution, we won't be feeling this ni'mah of Islam. The Islam that we get today, we get to feel, we get to enjoy, we get to know of, right? One of it is through the contribution and the sacrifice of Khadija. So Khadija was the first believer. And then the story of the boycott of the Muslim. Brothers and sisters, do you know that during the early stage of da'wah, our Muslim brothers and sisters were boycotted? Okay, so let me tell you. Okay, hold on. I just look at the time if the time still permits me to share. Okay, I still have time. Okay. So during the early age of da'wah, when Rasulullah SAW explicitly dakwah. So there were a few years where Rasulullah SAW dakwah in secret, and then Rasulullah SAW dakwah in public. So when he started to dakwah in public, the people of Makkah, many of them turned away. And not just that, but they made it difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to spread the message, meaning that they hate on Rasulullah, they made stories about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they tortured those who they could torture. So many of the followers of Islam at the early stage would be the weak ones, meaning the weak ones would be the shepherds, the ones with, you know, no financial standing in the society. Okay, so the weak ones would be the easy target for the Mecca people or for the people of Jahiliyyah, okay, to torture, because they don't have anyone to protect them, right? So they couldn't do much with Rasulullah, even though they did lots of things, lots of disgusting things towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they couldn't do more than that. Okay, but with the weak ones, they could actually torture, like how Bilal was tortured, because Bilal was the slave of one of the big figure of Mecca at that point of time, right? So he was tortured under the scorching sun. And how Sumayya's family, okay, the family of Yasir and his wife Sumayya and their two sons, Sumayya was killed, Yasir was killed also, and then Mu'adh was killed, but Ammar got to be spared. But they were killed. The point is they were killed because of them being Muslims, and they were servants or former servants, meaning that they don't really hold a high social status in Mecca. So they were easily tortured. And when the people of Mecca, especially the disbelievers, of course, the disbelievers actually saw that even though they tortured Muslims, but the Muslims wouldn't budge, wouldn't change their faith into their previous faith, or they wouldn't actually denounce Islam. They will be still Muslims. So they got frustrated. They were like, we had tortured them. We had stopped them from, you know, doing things or having an easy life, but they were still Muslims. So what they did was they made a pact with other tribes. So the society was made with, you know, a few tribes. So they made a pact with all the tribes and said, let us boycott the Muslims. So they could not have any business with us. They cannot help. We cannot help them, and they cannot ask help from us, and so much more. So just imagine for 3 years, 2 to 3 years, yeah, for this couple of years, they couldn't buy anything. They couldn't sell anything. They couldn't even have shelter. So they had to actually go to a place to do like a small tent or a small shelter there. And many children were at the point of starvation, extreme hunger. They couldn't do anything. Just imagine, you couldn't do any transaction in your life. You couldn't buy water. You couldn't buy food. If you are someone who actually a businessman or a woman, you cannot even sell things. So how can you get things? So that was something that the Muslims actually had to face. They were really tortured mentally and physically. Okay, but of course, there will be some disbelievers that couldn't actually have the heart to actually look at them being tortured. They will secretly give food to them. Secretly. But once they were caught or they were found out, okay, they will also be punished. Or they will stop and they were banned. So people were scared even to help these Muslims. So at that point of time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced a big challenge. And knowing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he couldn't bear to see his ummah, his followers, to be in difficulty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always thought about us, always thought about his followers. So when he actually saw that his followers were suffering, he couldn't take it. Just imagine that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day will actually see his followers were being tortured, were denied food, were denied water, and he himself were denied all of these things. So Khadija, with her wealth, with her influence, she helped a lot. She was generous until she gave her all. Her wealth, her energy, her time to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was there to support emotionally. She was there. She made her presence felt by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But she also suffered. She also suffered. And because of her being deprived of many things, she lost her life. Okay, she lost her life. So that year was a difficult year for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after a few months, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle, beloved uncle Abu Talib, passed on too. So it was a sad year for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so when Khadijah died, Rasulullah SAW was with her the entire time, meaning that from the moment she died and from the moment she was put into her grave, Rasulullah SAW personally carried her into her grave and was in the grave with her until the final moment. And from there onwards, life wasn't the same for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he was being tested with the passing of his uncle. But after that, Allah comforted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Isra Mi'raj and with Salah, right? And some even said that before Khadijah passed away, Rasulullah SAW comfort was with Khadijah. She was his strength, his pillar. But after she passed on, Allah gave the 5 daily prayers for Rasulullah to have that strength and have that motivation. Subhanallah. So there's also the hadith. Then Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, returned with the inspiration, with the revelation, and with his heart beating severely. This is when the first revelation was given. Then he went to Khadijah bin Khuwaylid and said, cover me, meaning that, comfort me, cover me, help me. They covered him till his fear was over. And after that, he told her everything that had happened and said, I fear that something may happen to me. Khadijah replied, Never, by Allah, Allah will never disgrace you. You keep good relations with your kith and kin, help the poor and the destitute, serve your guests generously, and assist the deserving calamity afflicted ones. Sahih al-Bukhari. So this is the words of Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha. She assured Rasulullah SAW that Allah wouldn't leave you alone. Ya Muhammad, you keep good relations, you help the poor, you treat your guests generously, you assist people, Allah will not abandon you. So this is also a motivation for us too. Okay, brothers and sisters? When we do good, we help people, we assist people, we treat people generously, we treat people nicely, Allah will never abandon us because of the good that we do. Allah will never abandon us because we still have faith in Him. Even those people who disbelieve, right? Allah still help them in this dunya. Allah still give them luxury, still give them happiness, still give them, you know, the joy of life. So what about us who believe in Him? Of course, Allah will never leave us. So this will be, you know, motivation for us, because it's a motivation for Rasulullah SAW. So Khadijah's passing after 25 years of marriage, she passed away and she was 65 years old and she died in Makkah. And the burial of Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala at Hujun near Makkah. So Hujun is a place near Makkah where Khadijah was buried. And every time when Rasulullah SAW went back, you know, and people would ask where Rasulullah SAW would want to reside. And Rasulullah SAW said, I want to be at Hujun, the place where Khadijah was buried. Even years after years of Khadijah's passing, he would say the same thing. And then, okay, let me highlight this one first. Okay. The Prophet's efforts to remember Khadijah and Aisha's radiallahu ta'ala anha's jealousy of Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha, and how the Prophet, peace be upon him, defends for her. So, even though after Khadijah's passing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam still always mentioned her name, remembered her, still kept in touch with her friends, her family, and every time when he heard the voice of Khadijah's sister, right, he will be very delightful. He will say, "Oh, welcome, welcome, ya hala, welcome." Okay, so it's as though that Khadijah was still with him. Okay, he showed his loyalty a lot, that Aisha got jealous of Khadijah. Even though Aisha, you know, didn't meet Khadijah, or, you know, Khadijah had passed on, but Aisha was still jealous of Khadijah. And Aisha was the wife of Rasulullah SAW, right? And the beloved wife of Rasulullah SAW. So Aisha actually narrated that she didn't feel any type of envy with the other wives of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Only with Khadijah she felt envious. So one day Aisha was really jealous, and she told Rasulullah about it. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, you keep mentioning about this person. Okay, you keep mentioning about her, and she's not here." And then Rasulullah was affected with what Aisha said. And Rasulullah said, "She was there when people abandoned me. She was there for me. She believed in me when people disbelieved in me. And Allah gave love through her to me. And ruzik tuhubuha," meaning that Allah gave a love through her to me, and she bore my children. So Rasulullah SAW was very defensive of Khadijah. He was really affected when Aisha provoked him out of jealousy. Okay, so even after years of Khadijah's passing, Rasulullah still remembered Khadijah, and he kept in touch with Khadijah's friend, meaning that when he slaughtered a sheep or any animal that he slaughtered, he will give some part of it to Khadijah's friend or Khadijah's family or someone related to Khadijah. Okay, so there will be some portion for Khadijah's relative or friends. So from there, we could see that Rasulullah SAW, even after the passing of Khadijah for years and years, he was still in love and felt very indebted to Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrated, Jibril came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and said, "Oh Allah's Messenger, this is Khadijah coming to you with a dish having meat soup or some food or drink. When she reaches you, greet her on behalf of her Lord Allah and on my behalf, and give her the glad tidings of having a palace in paradise made of qasab, wherein there will be neither any noise nor any toil, fatigue, trouble." Sahih al-Bukhari. So one day, Jibril actually came to the Prophet, and Jibril saw that Khadijah was on her way to the Prophet, wanting to serve the Prophet food or drink. So Jibril actually said, "Ya Rasulullah, Khadijah is coming to you, bringing for you something to eat or drink. So when she reaches you, please convey Allah's salam and my salam to her." MashaAllah, how special is Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha? She caught, kirakan, you know, Allah and Rasul and Allah and Jibril kirim salam to her. Now, on behalf of her Lord and on my behalf, Jibril said salam to Khadijah. Allah said salam. Allah, just imagine, Allah, our creator, our God, gave salam to Khadijah. And not only Allah and Jibril gave salam to her, Allah also asked Jibril to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give Khadijah the glad tidings, the bushra, the good news, that Khadijah will have a palace in paradise made of qasab, wherein there will be neither any noise nor any toil. Meaning that it will be a very peaceful place without any trouble and fatigue. Sahih al-Bukhari. From here, subhanallah, very, very beautiful. Allah knew that Khadijah might feel very tired, troubled. She might feel the gravity of the situation where the da'wah wasn't easy. The da'wah was difficult for Rasulullah and her family. Her family and Rasulullah SAW daily, every day, were condemned, were criticized, were made fun of, were being told all the negative things. So of course, as a human, you will get affected, right? You will feel tired. But knowing Khadijah, she wouldn't complain. She wouldn't say, "Rasulullah, why did you do this? Rasulullah, please give me some me time." No, she didn't say that. She didn't even show that she was tired. She was, you know, disturbed. She didn't show that at all. But Allah knew, and Allah gave her this glad tidings. And Allah indicated that there will be neither any noise or any fatigue and trouble. Khadijah, in this dunya, you may feel fatigue, you may feel troubled, but I've given you, I've guaranteed you a place where there won't be any kind of fatigue and trouble. It will be very calm. There will be not even any noise, ya Khadijah. MashaAllah. Rasulullah SAW through his hadith, granted Khadijah a place in paradise as the leader of women in paradise. From the four leaders, she was one of them. And then this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives salam to Khadijah, and also Jibril gives salam to Khadijah. And then Allah gives glad tidings that she will have a place in paradise. So Allah and Rasulullah guaranteed Khadijah a place in paradise. Subhanallah. And then when we look at Khadijah's quality, what made her a person who was guaranteed a paradise? Her being faithful, her being strong, her being loyal, her being someone who prioritized the iman, the taqwa, and someone who supported her husband in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for our sisters here, people will always highlight the entrepreneurship side of Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that's a good thing. She was a career woman. She was wealthy. She established herself. But at the same time, she didn't neglect her responsibilities as a mother and a wife. She did everything. She did what she did for Islam. She did what she did for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even though she gathered all the richness, all the wealth for herself and for the family, but it will always be channeled to the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all her wealth, all her intelligence were channeled to the cause of da'wah. MashaAllah. So I'll end with this hadith too. This is the hadith, the first hadith that we mentioned, and our brother here also shared with us. In hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the four women of paradise. Khat Rasulullah, khat Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fil ard arba'ata akhtat. Thumma qala tadruna ma hadha? Qalu Allah wa rasuluhu a'lam. Qala afdalu nisa'i ahli al-jannah Khadija bint Khalid wa Fatima bint Muhammad wa Maryam ibn Imran wa Asiya bint Muzahim imrah Fir'aun. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drew four lines on the ground, then he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Do you know what this is?" The companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, "Allah and his messenger knows best. Allah and his messenger know best." He salam then said, "The best of the women of paradise are Khadijah bin Khuwailid, Fatima bin Muhammad, Maryam bin Imran, and Asiya bin Muzahim, the wife of Pharaoh." So mashallah, mashallah. Right? If we see the women's here, Khadijah bin Khuwailid, she had magnificent husband, Rasulullah salam. Fatima, she had magnificent husband, which is Ali radiallahu anhu. Maryam, she had no husband. That's the miracle of Allah. She gave birth to Nabi Isa alayhi salam when no one, not even a single man, had touched her. So that was her specialty. That was an honor for her. She gave birth to a prophet without anyone touching her, okay? And Asiya bin Muzahim, she was guaranteed paradise, but she did not have a magnificent husband. So, mashallah, here we could see that, some people, they were gifted with good partner, but some, their partner is their test. Their partner is their trial. But in this hadith, regardless of how your partner is, you can still be the women of paradise. You can still be the people of paradise. Of course, your partner has great influence on you. Of course, your partner helps to shape who you are. But at the same time, you are your own person too. Like Asia bin Muzahim, her husband is the Fir'aun, Pharaoh, one of the worst human beings in history. Not, you know, in his time, in history. But she turned out to be one of the best women in history and was guaranteed paradise and was guaranteed a palace in paradise too. So, mashallah, from this hadith, we could actually dissect lots of things, mashallah. And one of it is that these are the women of paradise that we should make, you know, we should look up to them, we should make them as our role model, and we should follow in their footsteps. Inshallah. May we study about great women, may we become great women, and may we raise great women. Amin ya Rabbal Alamin. Conclusion. So, conclusion dia banyak, kan? Lots of things to conclude, right? Just recap. I hope that we go back home. We end this meeting with the acknowledgement or the realization or the awareness that Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anha was an impactful figure in Islam. Her role towards Rasulullah SAW, her role towards the spread of Islam, and her role towards the women of Islam. Remember the life of Khadijah in its entirety. Her work life, her marriage life, her life as an advocate, a fighter, and her life as a mother and a wife in its entirety, so that, you know, we can follow her in all aspects of our life, inshallah. And mashallah, her children, Zainab, Fatima, Kalsum, Ruqayyah, turned out to be women of paradise as well. And they were also people who we should look up to. So, question: what is one thing that has impacted you the most about the story of Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Maybe some of you might want to share with us on the chat box, or maybe you would like to unmute your phone. What is one of the things that impacted you the most about the story of Khadijah radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Sorry, radiallahu ta'ala anha. If anyone wants to share, you may do so. Okay, I'll give you two, three minutes to write on the chat box, or you may want to share here. Unmute your Zoom, inshallah. Okay, and yeah, Q&A. Anyone has question? Okay, let me see. Her akhlak and her taqwa. Thank you, Atira. Her smartness and business-mindedness. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Yes. All her great, great qualities, mashallah. Her akhlaq and her taqwa, true. And her intelligence and her smartness and business-mindedness. Look at how Khadijah used all her special qualities, all her strengths, towards supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Everyone of us has strengths, right? My strength and your strength might be different, but all of us can use our strength to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, their strength are being generous towards other people, and that is their door of taqwa, their door of goodness. Some people, their strength are towards more on contemplating or internalizing the Quran, and that is their door of taqwa. Some people, their strength are always smiling to other people, be it the people that he or she knows or a stranger. And that's their strength, subhanallah. So we might have different strengths, brothers and sisters, but use our strength to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get to know ourselves, get to know our strength and our weakness, and then we can be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our strengths, and our weakness can also become our strength in time, inshallah. Thank you, Atira. Atira here wrote, subhanallah, her story is very inspiring. There's a lot to learn from her life, the way she got out of a bad situation and had the sabr to wait until she met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Yeah. The story of Khadija inspired and still inspires me until now. So every time when I open a book of about Khadija, even though it's the same book, I will learn lots of new things each and every time. I will look at it in different angle and in different perspective, and I learn more and more. Subhanallah. So I would like to call upon everyone to read books on the Sahaba, the Sahabiyah, the male and female companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let us become their followers, look up to them and follow in their footsteps, inshallah. In today's world, right, it's hard to become good, right? The distractions, the temptations, the things that we see, the things that we hear, the people that we meet, even ourselves, okay, our nafs, our desire, they can go, you know, they can just go against us. But inshallah, by knowing at least the story of those who are successful, who are guaranteed paradise, we will always be motivated to become like them. We may not reach to their level, but at least we want to try to become like them. So, brothers and sisters, keep on being the better version of yourself until you discover the best version of yourself, or we die trying to do that. So we strive to become better, or die trying to become better. At least, we have tried our best. And one of the ways is to actually know of those who have tread this path and who are guaranteed a place in paradise, inshallah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Okay, I'll see there's no more question. End of week 2. Okay, Allah says, take one step towards me, I will take 10 steps towards you. Walk towards me, I will run towards you. MashaAllah. This is one of the most beautiful things about Islam, is that Allah is already waiting for us to come back to Him. It's just that we sometimes take time to come back to Him. He is always there. Subhanallah. Wa'iyakum atira. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you too. Amin, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen. Okay, with that, if we have no question, may Allah bless us, bless the knowledge that we have. May Allah use us for goodness. May Allah make us His servants that He loved, that He gave His rida, rahmah and barakah. Amin, ya Rabbal Alameen. And may we be the cause of raising great women, becoming great women, and may we become great people as a whole, and the pride of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amin, amin, ya Rabbal Alameen. I end with tasbih kafara and surat al-asr. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka anta wa natubu ilaik. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat. Wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Thank you everyone for your time, for your attention. Take care. I'll see you next week, inshallah. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.